We're going to read a couple passages of Scripture this morning. The first one is out of Luke chapter 13. And this is the Holman version. It's pretty close to the New King James, but it's the only one I have with super duper giant print. So that's why I'm reading this one. So chapter 13, verse 1, at that time, some people came and reported to Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices, and he responded to them, "Do you think that these Galileans were more sinful than all Galileans because they suffered these things? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as well. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as well." Or those 18 that the tower in Siloam fell on and killed. Do you think they were more sinful than all the people who were in Jerusalem? No. I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as well. So the people were kind of, discussing this among themselves, wondering about it, about these two particular instances. The latter being, you had 18 people that were killed in a tragic accident. And so they're going, well, they must have done something wrong. That's kind of what their thinking was. And that was typical in the first century. And a lot of people think that today. Well, God wants to take something out on you because you've done something in the past. And surely these people must have done something really bad. And Jesus says, no, you are really missing the point. One way or another, whether you've been really bad or not so bad, there's going to come a day in your life, barring the rapture, if you're a believer, that you're going to flatline. Everybody with me on that? Anybody want to debate me on that? Anybody want to disagree? Well, we live in a world of debate and disagreement and people marching around and protesting. They don't like this and like that. I don't know that anybody wants to debate me on the fact that one day in everyone's life, the monitor is not going to move. That line is just going to be horizontal. That's what Jesus was trying to say to the people there in Luke chapter 13. And he said, here's the serious business you need to be thinking about, because this is serious business. Unless you repent, you're going to perish. You're not going to see heaven. You're not going to see the Lord. Now, we read a lot about the fact that God is love. It's all over the map. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What do you think about these verses I just read to you? How do they mirror the love of God? Or do they? Do you see the love of God in the text that I just read to you? Boy, I do. Do you know what the Lord is doing? He's telling us the truth, and he's warning us. He doesn't want us to fall into the same trap that many others who've gone before us fall into. He wants us to keep from jumping off the cliff. He wants us to be prepared and ready when that line does finally go horizontal. Serious business. I was raised in a church. I never heard about this. I went to church every day. Went to church for years. I went every day, Monday through Friday. And then I went on Sundays. And then later, I just went every Sunday. Sat there with some wonderful prayers. There were some wonderful thoughts. There were some wonderful devotions and homilies. There were some wonderful people that I sat next to. Most of them I didn't know, but I never once, no one ever told me from what was then, at that point, the lectern of the pulpit, about how I could make sure that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. How I could know that I know that I know. No one ever told me. not until I got outside that building and somebody from the street shared with me the good news of Jesus Christ. And I thought to myself, I wonder what kind of pastor I am if all I do is talk to these people about how to have a wonderful marriage, how to raise their kids, how to have their kids raise them, how to eat in the fellowship hall, how to serve on a committee, how to be a good Baptist. If that's all I did, I'm telling you, I'm a very poor shepherd. I mean, I might as well go back to the other church. No, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus loved the people enough to tell them the truth. You got to prepare. You must prepare. You must be ready for that horizontal line that's coming, barring the rapture. Now, having said that, I want to read another passage of Scripture to you. And this one is in Matthew 25. Because we've been talking for the last, I don't know how many weeks. I mean, we did lessons from a sheepdog, talking about sheep, a sheepdog, and a shepherd. Before that, we did Psalm 23, talking about a shepherd and sheep. This story is also about sheep in part, but it's also about, anybody want to guess? Goats. We haven't been talking about goats. There's a lesson here about goats. When the Son of Man, verse 31, comes in his glory and all the angels with him. So this is in the future. He will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. There's going to be a separation. The sheep and the goats are not all going to the same place. Serious business. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left, and the king will say to those on the right, come. You are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you took care of me. I was in prison, you visited me. The righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, I assure you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me. Those are three words you do not want to hear. May I make the suggestion? Depart from me. You who are cursed into the eternal fire, prepared for who? The devil and his angels. God never wanted one person to go to hell. Never. He wants every person to be in heaven with him. He loves every single person. But there's a problem that has to be addressed. Because God is not only love, God is just. And we've all broken his law, and justice needs to take place for God to continue in his justice. God administers his justice through his love. And so, you know the story. Jesus died on the cross to pay our debts so that that justice could come to play in our own lives through the cross. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. It reminds me of the Good Samaritan story. Remember that story? You know, the Jewish guy is going down from Jerusalem down there to Jericho. And he gets beaten up by the robbers and left on the side of the road, half dead, half naked. All his money is taken. And a couple guys walk by him. Who were those guys? One was a Baptist. No. 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 One was a deacon. No, no, no. One was a preacher. No, no. I mean, well, really, they were two religious guys. You know, you had a priest and who was the other guy? Levite, you know, something like that. These guys went to church every day. I mean, they sang in the choir. They knew their Bible. They had their Bible, Old Testament, memorized. And they see this guy that's half dead, needing some help. And how'd they do on this thing, according to Matthew chapter 25? They walked by, turned their nose up. They wouldn't even go. They went on the other side of the road, Jesus said, because they didn't want to make sure they didn't want to get infected with whatever he had. And they were religious people, and they had no compassion. But then the Samaritan comes by, we know the story, and picked him up, and he not only put him on his donkey, you know, and took him down to the motel, paid his bill, said, "I'll be back, come get him and take care of him." It sounds like this story here. You guys didn't do that. He's talking to the goats. Sick in prison, you didn't take care of me. Then they too will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, stranger, etc.?" Then he will answer them, "I assure you, whatever you did not do for the one of the least of these, you did not do it for me either." And they will go away into what? You don't hear those two words often in churches today. You don't hear Luke 13 often in churches today, because most of our churches today have been infected with the culture. And so they don't want to tell the truth because it might offend someone. I don't want to be offended by someone saying in my church, "You know what? You never told us the truth. You just wanted to make us more comfortable." Then that would be a sad, sad story. Now, here's what Jesus is not saying. He's not saying, "Well, you go be a good guy, be a good Samaritan, you can go to heaven." That's not what he's saying. He's saying, here's what sheep do. If you're a sheep, if you're one of God's people, if you're one of his children, you're going to have some compassion in your life. You're going to want to express God's love. Why? Because God has expressed his love to you. As God, you have felt the compassion of your own life as God has forgiven you for your sins. And so you turn around and want to do that to others. And you want to express the love of God that's been expressed to you. Well, obviously, if none of those things are your experience, then you're not going to want to do that to others because you've never experienced it yourself. That's the point. So there's a difference between sheep and goats. Now, I'm a city boy, so I didn't know anything about sheep. I had to learn about them. And then I was reading about what this guy was saying about goats. So I'm going to read you something that he was talking about, because I have no clue about goats. So Matthew 25 is talking about goats. Well, what's a goat? Okay, what are we talking about here? Goats are capricious. They are impulsive and unpredictable, devious and contrary. This fellow says, Mike Ford. If they are not poking their heads through fences, they may be standing on their hind legs, stretching for those tender leaves just out of reach. Goats are never content with what they have. They're experts in opening gates and squeezing through small gaps because they hate to be confined. Fences that will handle sheep, cattle, and horses will not hold goats. I didn't know that. They will work tirelessly to spring themselves from any situation they deem inhibiting. Does this sound like somebody you live with so far? Hopefully not. Consequently, goats are not very good. Listen to this. They are not very good followers. Gregarious behavior is a term that refers to the flocking or herding instinct, which is found in the stuff we have around here, cattle, horses, and sheep. Again, this quality is rather weak in goats. They prefer leading or going on their own. In other words, they would have worked right into the 60s doing their own thing. Meat packers use this instinct in sheep and goats to their advantage. They will train an old goat appropriately, called a Judas, to lead sheep to the pens for slaughter. A well-trained Judas will lead group after group of sheep to the slaughter all day long. And we got a bunch of those folks in our pulpits today. A sheep, on the other hand, he follows his or her shepherd, peacefully moving forward with the flock. He is content to be led because he has faith in him. A sheep responds to his shepherd's voice and goes where he directs. On the other hand, a goat follows only its own lead, creating disunity when he comes in contact with others in the flock. Because of his independent nature, he often finds himself in contention with the shepherd for leadership of the flock, leading some astray. A goat often eats things, a symbol of ingesting spiritual instruction. Sheep would avoid because they have no real value and cause sickness. Now, the Lord is also not saying in this story that sheep are bad, inherently bad or evil. He's not saying that. He's saying that many of the characteristics of a goat are bad. And when those are similar to a person's life, in this story we learn that there may be good reason to believe this person spiritually is not a sheep but a goat. So here's the first thing you want to make sure today, that you're a sheep. Are you sure? I'm not asking if you sing in the choir. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done. Are you sure? This is serious business. Let's take care of it right now. Let's bow our heads. In case there's anybody here who has any doubt or uncertainty, in just a moment you can invite the Lord to come into your life. Ask Him to forgive you for all of your sins, past, present, and future, and take you to heaven when you die, so that you will never hear the words, "Depart from me." Pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have broken your law. I deserve to be separated from you. But I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to take my place so that I could be forgiven. And so right now, Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart. Make me a sheep. Make me one of your children. Give me the gift of eternal life. Forgive me. Make me the kind of person that you want me to be. And take me to heaven when I die. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, there were some here today, I'm sure you prayed that prayer again. You know, you've prayed it in the past, and that's great. I'm glad. You know, everyone did that did. But there were some of you here today that might have prayed that for the very first time. By the way, how many times do you have to pray it? Just once. When you sincerely ask the Lord to come into your life, God comes into your life right then at that moment and saves your soul. So 10 years from now, let's say you're one of those people today, 10 years from now, somebody comes up to you and says, "Are you a Christian?" And so your name is Jack. "Jack, are you a Christian?" "Yes, I'm a Christian." "Really? How do you know that?" "Because there's only one prerequisite to go to heaven. You have to be a Baptist." Oh, I fooled you. You guys are really listening. There's only one prerequisite. You have to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, because he's the only way to the Father. You can't be good enough. Oh, okay. Well, when did you do that? What's today? I don't have my watch on. What's today? February 12th? February 12th, what year is it? 2017. That is the day that I asked Jesus, where were you? First Baptist Church, Floresville, Texas. I mean, you could have been in a park, right? You could have been in a boat or a car or a plane or anywhere. It didn't matter where you were, but now you know where you were. You know when you did it, and you know what you did. And when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, God makes a promise that you have just become a sheep. And I don't know who prayed that today for the very first time, but whoever you are, the rest of us would like to give you a big applause and say, congratulations, way to go, welcome to the family of God. Now, here's the second thing. And good news for y'all, the second thing is the last thing of the message. No third thing. Now that we're sheep, or we've been sheep, what does God want us to do? I'll tell you what he wants us to do. He wants us to go help more goats become sheep. Right? Now, there are many different ways that God uses to do that. Now, here's kind of a cool thing that I found. You know, I was reading this other guy, this other preacher, and he was talking about after-death experiences. And you have to be careful with that, because there are people who claim to have an experience, and they'll say all this phony, baloney stuff, and it doesn't agree with anything in the scripture, or very little, or it's just, and remember, the devil is can make himself like what? An angel of light, and he can deceive people. And so he's in the business of trying to deceive people. One particular book by the name of Betty Eady, she wrote Embraced by the Light. It's phony baloney. It's just a bunch of junk. And so if somebody has an experience, what do we do with that experience? We line it up with what does the Bible say. And if the experience is different than what the Bible says, we throw out the experience, not the Bible. So here's one particular lady I'll just tell you about. I don't have time for the other. And this is really cool. I like this story. Diane Komp, K-O-M-P. She is present tense, a pediatric oncologist from Yale University. She describes being gradually converted from atheism to agnosticism to faith in Jesus Christ. How so? By witnessing the experiences of children near death. You see, the kids she works with all have cancer. And most of them, if not all of them, or most of them die. And so she says, kids who have no publisher's incentive to lie or to stretch the truth, who had no predisposed pictures of what the afterlife was like, who had never seen the movies or read the books, told her, she said, the most amazing things. In her book, A Window to Heaven, Diane describes these encounters, and here's one. She recalls sitting, and this was before she became a believer, she recalls sitting with a family in their final moments with their 7-year-old daughter, a victim of leukemia. That little girl said, the angels, they're so beautiful. Mommy, can you see them? Can you hear them singing? I've never heard such beautiful singing, Diane said. The word that most closely described what I've received from these children is the word gift. That little girl died just a few minutes after saying what she said. God used that as a witness to Diane, which eventually turned her from being a goat to being a sheep. Now that's what God wants to do in your life and in my life. Well, we're probably not going to be around a whole lot of near-death experiences, you know, or that kind of thing to help, but there are other ways. In the early service, Ray and Norma were here. Beautiful people. They've only been saved about 10 years. They came from First Baptist San Antonio, and they're, you know, in their 60s. And so they got saved later on in life. You're still brand new in the game in 10 years, you know. So I'm having lunch with Ray, and Norma is from Monterrey, or how do you say that? Monterrey, Mexico. That's where she's from, and all her family still lives there. But they live here, Ray and Norma live here in Floresville. They've been living here for, you know, forever. New Christians. And so I'm having lunch with Ray on a Wednesday. So we're talking, and he's telling me that his mother-in-law back in Monterrey is sick with cancer, and he's trying to help financially with that whole thing because the health system's different in Mexico than it is in the United States, and it's all kind of cockeyed. And anyway, so I said, well, she's going to have to do chemo and all that. So I said, well, Ray, have you talked to your mother-in-law about the Lord yet? You know, this goat and sheep thing. And he said, well, I have, Mike. He said, I just kind of hit a brick wall. I just never got anywhere. I said, well, hey, we got another thought here. I said, now, she lives down in Monterey. I said, when's the next time you're going to be down there? He said, well, I don't know the next time I'm going to be down there. I said, well, man, that's too bad. I said, because you could give her a little gospel tract, and, you know, she could read that, and maybe the gospel would make sense to her, and she wouldn't ask, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so Ray says, well, Mike, I can do better than that. He said, and we had to get it in Spanish. He said, I'm going to take that. He had never seen a gospel tract. He didn't even know they existed. So I had to explain it all to him and how it worked and read it to him and all that. So he said, I can take that and I can scan it on the computer and then send it by email down to my sister-in-law and she can give it to my mother-in-law. I said, I wish I'd have thought of that. I said, that's a great idea. So that was on a Wednesday. So I thought, well, I hope he does that soon, you know. They didn't know how long she was going to live, months, a year, whatever. That was on a Wednesday, Saturday morning, got a text. Mike, I'm sorry to tell you, 7:30 in the morning, I got bad news. My mother-in-law died this morning. But here's the good news. My sister-in-law got the track on Thursday from my fax on Thursday morning, and she gave it to my mother-in-law on Friday, and Friday night, she read that little track according to my sister-in-law, and she prayed that little prayer, you know, the prayer that some of y'all just pray? And she prayed that little prayer and asked Jesus Christ to come into her life, and 8 hours later, there was a horizontal line. But she went to heaven. I said, Ray, you could have procrastinated. You could have said another day. You could have got busy reading the Drudge Report, you know, and being all concerned about current events and this or that, like these people in Luke chapter 13. What about this and what about that? Jesus said, you're missing the point. It's not just about now that we've settled that, where we're going to be. It's where's everybody else going to be? The people that we work with, that we live around, that we go to school with. The flat line is coming. Last thing, we'll close with this. This week I read a lot of near-death experiences that people had. And some of the people claimed that they got to actually have a conversation with the Lord. And I noticed three things cropping up in this questions that the Lord would ask when these people would ask for information. And one of the things that they asked about was about their life. And the Lord would say, how have you spent your time on earth? That was one thing he was interested in. How have you spent your time? Number two, they would ask and they would say, well, something about something they saw or like whatever felt. And Jesus would say, have you not read my book? In other words, it's already in the Bible. Have you not been reading that? And what was the third question? I don't remember. was something. What was it? I know y'all don't know. I'm trying to remember. Said it in the early service, Terry. You were there. Oh, there's where it was. Oh, yeah. It's the most important point. How could I forget this one? He would say, have you talked to anybody about me? There it is. Lots of goats out there. The Lord wants to use you while you still have time to help more goats become sheep. Let's pray. Teach us, Lord, how serious this business is. It's not all fun and games. Oh, it's exciting and wonderful to be a believer and the peace that we have and all that, but it's serious business. There are people around us that if they were to die today, they would hear those three words. We've got a track rack in the foyer. Pick up some tracks on your way out. When you go through the hamburger line, give it to the cash register. When you're down there at the mall and you buy something, give it to the cash register. Give it to people that you come across that you may never see again. And then talk to your friends. Talk to them about the Lord.